This is the fourth day of Advent. Our first lesson is recorded in Isaiah 7, beginning with the 10th verse. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people, and on the house of your father, a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah, and he will bring the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is in Romans, beginning with the first verse of verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart from the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his early life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God and power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that came from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Once more, I greet you in the ever-obedient name of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, during this Advent time, pretty much the month of December, we've been having our Advent services on Thursday evening. And the theme of those services this year has been the patience of faith. Now, the title there kind of implies a time of, inactivity or maybe waiting. And certainly during Advent, there is that. However, God does not want us to be too inactive for very long. Yes, it's good to stop and to catch our breath, so to speak, and to think about the real reason for Christmas, the coming of Jesus, his birth. And like we talked about last week, it's a time for us to kind of refocus our minds and our hearts and our lives on Jesus, who has come to us as a baby this first time and will come back again to us as the glorious King, the triumphant King. Well, that after this time of refreshing and after this time of refocusing, what's next? Hopefully, part of our reflection was a review of how we are acting on our faith. Because obedience is a condition of faith. Obedience is evidence of our faith. It's kind of like James said in his letter in chapter 2. He said, faith without works is dead. Well, our lessons today speak to us about obedient faith. And I'm going to use some of our lessons today, and I'm going to add to that other scripture verses that may be familiar to kind of weave a picture for you on obedience. Now, to start off in our gospel lesson today from Matthew 1, we find Joseph. Joseph is one of the examples of obedience. We know that Joseph was betrothed to Mary, was engaged to Mary. And Mary had already told Joseph that she had the encounter with the angel, where the angel announced to her that she would become pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that she would have a baby boy. And that baby boy would be the Son of God and would grow up to be the Savior of the world. And we can read the details of that announcement in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel. And obviously, Mary was favored highly by God, probably because she was a very faithful believer in what God said and his promises to the Israelites. And so what was Mary's reaction when the angel told her that she was going to become pregnant and she was going to give birth to the Son of God? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." You see, I'm sure Mary didn't understand all the things that were going to happen to her in her life with her baby boy, Jesus. But because of her faith in God, she wholeheartedly embraced the angel's message and saw the magnificence of what was about to happen here. As a matter of fact, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name.'" Mary immediately was on board with what God wanted her to do, even though she was only engaged to Joseph. She wasn't married to him. Even though she could be considered a social outcast because she was not married. Even though Joseph may leave her and not go through with the marriage to her, she obeyed anyway, because of her faith in God. But you know, Luke's gospel doesn't tell us what Joseph's reaction to all this was. Well, Matthew gives us Joseph's reaction. And we find out that he was contemplating leaving Mary. He was contemplating ending their engagement, not because of, you know, protection, him trying to protect himself, but he was trying to protect Mary from at least the embarrassment, if not the outright death sentence that she could be facing, because that's what unmarried pregnant women back there faced at that time. Now, in our gospel lesson, we find Joseph asleep. And while he was sleeping, an angel came to him in a dream and told him not to fear taking Mary as his wife, because all of this was by God's divine design. So what was Joseph's reaction to the angel telling him this? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph obeyed because of his faith. Now, we don't know much about Joseph and his faith prior to this, but he was on board, just like Mary, with God's plan. Although his life wouldn't be as traumatic as Mary's would be later on, he did take Jesus to be his son, his human son, and he taught him, at least in the early part of Jesus' life. You know, the Bible is filled with people who obeyed God because of their faith, even though that disobedience might be difficult at times. I mean, the names like Abraham and Moses come to mind. Because faith produces obedience. We know that sin started because of disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Jesus had to come to this earth. He had to be born of Mary. He had to grow up and go through all he did because of that disobedience. Obedience to what God the Father knew had to be done to ease the disobedience, or erase, I should say, the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Even though Jesus, in his humanity, didn't want to go through the things that he knew he was going to go through, he obeyed. He obeyed his Father. Because you remember, just before his arrest, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew wrote this. He said, Jesus fell with his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus obeyed his Father. And then you remember what Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians about Jesus. He said, and being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God the Father. Hallelujah. And we're so glad, aren't we, that he was obedient? Because if he wasn't, we would still be in our sins. We would still be condemned to eternal death. So when we have faith to believe in Jesus, we're supposed to take to heart what he says, right? Well, in John 14, this is one of the things that Jesus said. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Well, you know, to me that sounds pretty simple, right? If we love him, if we believe in him, we're going to obey what he says. If we don't love him, if we don't have faith in him, we're not going to obey him. We're going to keep disobeying. Well, what does obedience to God because of our faith, what does that mean for us? Well, it's not going to mean that someone will have to give birth to the Savior, because that's the Savior's already come. Now, it may mean that we raise godly children or grandchildren who maybe can influence their community or maybe even the world for Jesus. I mean, we think about Billy Graham's mother, right? It may mean changing direction in our lives because we're listening to what God has to say for us and what he puts on our hearts that he wants us to do. I mean, I never thought I'd be a pastor at my advanced age. But I can tell you it does mean repenting of our sins and actively turning away from them in accordance, in obedience with God's command. As a matter of fact, repenting is the first act of obedience that all people who come to believe in Jesus must do. The first act, repentance. You remember at Pentecost when Peter got up and he eloquently gave a sermon about Jesus under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people that heard him that day came to belief in Jesus, gave their heart to Jesus. And chapter 2 of Acts tells us this. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Their first act of obedience was to repent, to turn away from their disobedience. Now, another thing that obedient faith means is to tell other people or even show other people our faith in Jesus so that they too can receive that faith in him by the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what did Jesus command us to do? We all know it by heart, don't we? Matthew 28. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Paul kind of goes a little bit further with that in our lesson today, in our second lesson from his letter to the Roman church. Verse 5, he says, "Through Jesus we received grace and apostleship." Why? "To call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his namesake." To bring people to Christ. To call people to Christ in his name so that they know who he is too, just like we do. Well, to hear God's voice speaking to you, you have to hear it. You have to listen for it, right? In order to obey him. Well, none of us are going to have an angel come. Well, I say none of us. Probably none of us will have an angel come to us like Mary and Joseph did, right? Or probably not many of us are going to encounter God in a bush that looks like it's burning like Moses did, right? So how do we hear God speaking to us today? Listen to how the writer of Hebrews starts off the book of Hebrews. He writes, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe." God speaks to us through the words and the actions, the ministries of Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate in just a few days. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us so that we can hear him. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts, opens our ears at just the right time. And I know some of you have experienced that because you tell me you heard the Holy Spirit put on your heart something that you heard in worship services. You heard him speaking to you. You know, Jesus is fond of saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The Holy Spirit works through and in harmony with God's word. If we're not reading, if we're not studying God's word, how in the world do we expect to hear Him? Too often we either fail to listen, or when we do listen, we don't think it's for us, right? It reminds me of an elderly lady that was leaving church one day from a Sunday service. And she went to the back to greet the pastor who was in the back shaking hands with the people leaving. And she walks up to the pastor and she says, "Pastor, that was a great sermon that you gave today. It was just wonderful. Everything you said applies to someone I know." Do you think maybe she should be listening for what applies to her? I think so. Obedient faith hears God's word with a willingness to change the areas in our lives that need changing. Sometimes we don't want to hear that, right? Sometimes it's because some changes in our life that God wants for us may cause major disruptions in our life. Kind of like when your loved ones come to you and say, "You know, you really need to quit smoking," or "You really need to make this major change in your life, because if you don't, it's going to be detrimental to you." And we might know that that's true, right? But we just don't want to do it because it would be too hard, or it would be too traumatic, or it would be too unsettling for us. We would rather not hear that word, because even if it is in our best interest, because of our own selfish desires. Folks, we have to understand that what we do in this life affects what we do in the next life. God gave us His grace so that we would obey Him. Salvation comes to us through the Word of God, whether it's spoken or written or heard, about Jesus, God's word about Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe in Jesus. Nothing that we've ever done or nothing that we ever could do can give us that salvation. Jesus has done everything that can be done or that needs to be done for us to be reconciled back to our Father in heaven. And with that salvation comes a new life. A new life in which God asks us to obey Him out of love for Him, out of love for Him rescuing us from our sin. Not continuing to disobey Him as our old nature, as our sinful nature would want to do. Obedient faith allows God to continue to search us, continue to identify the areas within us that needs work, that we need to work on. Because there's always those little nooks and crannies within us where the light of Jesus needs to be shined so that we can clean them out in obedience to Him. When God puts His finger on those areas in our life, obedient faith responds. Even if it's difficult, even if it's inconvenient for us. So, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus the first time, and as we look forward to His coming to this earth the second time someday, let's focus on why He came. To bring us obedient faith as a way for us to have our sins forgiven, and to be His hands and His feet and His mouthpiece here on this earth until we cross over into the next world. Hebrews 5, if you go further in Hebrews, the fifth chapter tells us a little bit more about Jesus. The writer says, "Son that though He was, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him." At this time of the year, let's remember that He is the source of our salvation. And let's listen for ways that we can be obedient to Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before You this morning as waiting pilgrims in this foreign land. Help us to hear Your voice call to us to be obedient to You for the sake of Your Son, Jesus. We celebrate His birth in just a few days. We remember that He came and died and rose again because of Your great love for us. Help us. Help us to not reject or even taint this coming by continuing our disobedience. Help us to love You and each other in full submission to Your command, so that our eternity will be surrounded by Your complete and sacrificial love. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.